get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to another episode of Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I'm Pete.
I'm Molly.
And this is a podcast where we break down an episode of a Hallmark Christmas movie. And today we are going to break down the 2015 classic Christmas Land.
When we choose a movie to break down, we do have a few rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an older one. We watch it every year, and we've had these rules from the beginning. We only watch the movies on Hallmark Channel, not Lifetime, mm-hmm. not Movies and Mysteries.
Subsidiaries.
Yeah. And or Netflix mm-hmm. does them now. Only Hallmark Channel. We don't watch any of the Royal or Princess mm-hmm. ones, and we don't watch any of the Candace Cameron Bure movies.
And that's it.
So this is one we've watched every year, and when you ask someone if they've seen this one, you say, you know, it's the one with the painting. So
this might be my favorite Hallmark Christmas movie of all time.
Wow, that's high praise.
Well, I guess I shouldn't say how much I love it, how much I enjoy watching it.
There's some good stuff in it, but there's also some dumb stuff in it, too.
Well, it came out in 2015, and I feel that the movies have gotten better
yeah.
since 2015, because this one, oh boy, it is a humdinger.
The other thing I've noticed is when I'm talking to somebody about which movies we're watching, or they mention they've watched one, and I describe what I'm watching, and I'm like, you know, it's the one where the guy's mean to the girl the whole time, and then the last minute they kiss. That's what one of the, this one falls into that category.
So how does this one start?
It starts in a flashback in Christmasland, and Maureen McCormick, Marcia Brady,
mm-hmm.
plays Glinda, who owns Christmasland. And so we get to see her house and little kids decorating ornaments. And one of them is her granddaughter. And she wears this big red Mrs. Santa kind of cloakish coat. It's like a lot of red. She's ensconced in velvet.
Yeah.
A lot of red velvet. And so, yeah, so we meet her granddaughter, and they ride like a carriage to a tree lighting, and she lets her granddaughter light the tree. And so she owns Christmasland, which is like her house and like a little village mm-hmm. of Christmassy shops. And like that ends with the grandmother saying, like, I will never forget you. And the granddaughter saying, I will never forget you either. Which I'm like, duh, they're not randomly meeting each other once. Like, they're in a family together. They're going to be in that family forever together. And then now we see the granddaughter's grown up, and she lives in Manhattan. So she's a city girl mm-hmm. who, you know, is devoted to her job. So it's yeah. most important to her. And she's played by Nikki DeLoach, who is a Hallmark movie regular. She was the mom on Awkward, that series on mm-hmm. MTV. Yeah, which was a good show for a couple seasons. And so I like her, and I've always liked her in that. And she's kind of, she's assertive. She stands up for herself, but she's also very likable, too. The guy that we meet is played by some actor named Luke McFarlane, who's Canadian. He's also a Hallmark movie guy, too.
Yep.
And when we catch up with her in New York, it's 25 years later, and she works in brand identity.
Yeah, at first I thought she was some sort of media influencer.
Well, I'm sure, 3 years ago, influencers weren't as much of a thing as, you know, so I'm sure now that would be even.
She added that to her resume.
Yeah, Jules. Her name is Jules. Mm-hmm. And so she's been working with Nickerson's Coffee,
mm-hmm.
and I guess they've made improvements in 3 years, but like the coffee shop, like,
no,
just like a really bad sign.
Yeah,
the sign
yeah.
is really bad. It's not believable. And so their whole, and like these signs too, like the campaign's like, wear red, go green.
Yeah. She mentions that it's trending. Wear red, go green is trending. So, you know, she's doing her job. She's doing her job well
yeah.
when she says that she's got this campaign for Nickerson's coffee trending.
And it's some business about like bringing your own mug in at the holidays. And the woman, Mrs. Nickerson or whatever, who owns the company is really happy with the job that Jules is doing. And her boss is really happy. So it looks like she's going to get a promotion. And she's been traveling a lot for work. And if she gets this promotion, she'll be able to be in New York most of the time, which means maybe like buying a place and settling down with her city boyfriend.
Who we meet.
And he's an attorney.
Yeah.
He's snaky.
Yeah, that's a perfect word for him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's unlikable right from the beginning.
Yes. I mean, we know the formula here, but yeah, there's no... This guy is just gross from the get-out.
Yeah, he doesn't even know exactly what... I mean, I guess we barely know what she does.
Yeah, yeah. But he doesn't care to know.
He's very dismissive of her.
He's an egomaniac.
Yeah. She was excited about her campaign at Nickerson's, telling and then saying that she's got this promotion. And he was kind of blankly looking at her. And she was like, you don't even really know what I do.
So they're in her apartment. And she's got a big stack of mail that she hasn't opened. She's been traveling a lot. And she just hasn't gotten to it. And he's going through her mail and he notices a letter from an attorney. So that catches his eye and he starts to open it. And it's about her inheriting a house and some property in somewhere. Do we know where Christmas Land is?
No. Somewhere in the mountains.
Somewhere but near Chicago. Yeah. So they go to Chicago a lot.
Yeah, they go to Chicago.
Quickly. So she's inherited this property and she's like, oh, that must be Grandma Glenda's. Oh, remember she died when I was in Poland. Like that whole thing of, I'll never forget you. It was like, that might have been the only time they saw each other. Like, she does not, there's no like affection for, it just seems very like a distant memory to her to have any kind of relationship.
Well, it seemed
with her.
She spent some time at Christmas Land early in her life.
And then her parents got divorced and they
didn't go there quite as often. Yeah.
But yeah, there's not, I don't know, you don't, she's very cold about it all. So she decides she's going to go and check out the house, see like, you know, what it is. The snaky boyfriend mentions like, oh, you should see what you own. You might be able to sell it and buy that condo by the park.
Upper West Side condo that she's
you've
been
always wanted.
Wanted.
So she goes up to Christmas Land, wherever it is, and it's in disrepair. Like the sign is, there's letters gone from the Christmas Land sign, the shutters, and this cute guy walks up to her, Tucker Barnes, that's Luke McFarlane, and she assumes he's like the caretaker, or, you know, like she doesn't know that
he's wearing a flannel shirt, so she assumes
he's
that
he's a rough hewn look.
Yeah, that he must take care of the barn or something.
No, he is the estate attorney. And right from the beginning, he starts talking about like city life versus or big city life versus small town life. And, you know, she's used to life in the fast lane and like less hectic Christmas Land, whatever this town is. And he takes her, he's going to show her around. And he first takes her to her grandmother's house, which is where we were in the beginning when they were making ornaments. And they walk in and into the living room. And everything about this house feels, it all feels really like nothing. I mean, maybe that's, maybe this is the case. Like nothing's been updated since like the 80s. And like one point she's sleeping in like her bedroom and like all the bedding, like she sleeps on top of the bed on like the decorative pillows. And just like, it's like staying in a hotel where you don't want to touch anything.
Kind of gross.
It's not cute. It's not charming. Everything looks bad 80s, not cute vintage. And there's like a tree still decorated and all the furniture is covered in red and green sheets.
Yeah, there's a lot of red and green going on.
And but it's decorated for Christmas. And this is when we cut to like current day, it's Christmas. Like she had that was the wear red, go green, and she had a tree in her apartment. So she's looking around in the living room and we pan up to the painting.
The best painting. I wonder if this painting is available to purchase.
We can't be the only people that think this painting is crazy. It's like the Kramer like print that you can buy from Seinfeld. It's like a painting where the eyes follow you around and they keep talking. It's just a portrait of Maureen McCormick in her red velvet glory and with like a big white fur Russian hat on.
But it's Marcia Brady. Everybody knows that it's Marcia Brady.
Yes. And like, she's the same age that she was. She's not like a little old lady, Christmas landlady. She's like the same
age. Jules remembers Grandma Glinda.
And it's huge, too. It's really big. Yeah, it goes up to the ceiling. It's just so... I don't know if you're necessarily going to watch the movie listening to this, or maybe you watch it. Just see if you can Google image this painting.
Yeah. I think if you Google image Christmas Land, it's got to be the first thing that comes up.
Yeah.
It's glorious, really.
And it's always there, watching it. And people always talk about how Nikki DeLoach and Marie McCormick don't necessarily look alike, but they keep talking about how she has her grandmother's eyes. Mm-hmm. And I guess she kind of does.
Yeah.
But I just think about the grandmother's eyes in the painting. Like, she literally has her grandmother's eyes. So Jules is set on selling the place, and Tucker Barnes wants her to reopen Christmas Land and run it like her grandmother does. Like, these things are established.
Yeah. When Tucker first heard that the granddaughter of Glinda inherited it, I think everybody kind of jumped to the conclusion that, oh my God, Glinda's granddaughter is inheriting this. We're going to bring it back to the prominence that it was 25 years ago.
And word spreads fast in Christmas Land.
Yes, it does.
their stands on things are very important here. Everything's kind of based on her wanting to sell and Tucker Barnes wanting her to reopen it for the community.
Mm-hmm.
So they're walking around the house and they go into the kitchen. This is where we meet creepy Uncle Frank, the caretaker. He's so creepy. There's some creepy guys like this in these movies. I think he's the creepiest.
Yeah, he's tall. He's bald.
Just he looks like a clown without makeup on.
So Christmas Land has been in disrepair, yet there are still people that are living in this community.
Yeah.
So Uncle Frank, essentially, for 25 years, he's just been living in this house.
No, he lives in a little house in the back. A little guest house in the back.
Yeah, he doesn't even get to live in the real house.
But he's in there cooking his soup, when he's stirring some soup. The only thing they do now is sell Christmas. They have a Christmas tree lot. So the only thing they do is sell Christmas trees. And so he's in charge. Uncle Frank is in charge of the Christmas tree lot.
As the word travels, he's also aware that the granddaughter has purchased. So he, coming in when he meets Jules, he's excited that the granddaughter has bought this place. And
when he finds out, he's so mad. Storms off.
When Tucker says, you know, hey, take it easy, Uncle Frank, she's going to sell this place.
He just completely 180 changes. Like, he's so like warm and welcoming, and he's just so pissed about it.
I think he just leaves the room.
He leaves his soup on the stove. So then here come these two really pushy ladies. Okay, when you say that this is your favorite without these ladies, right? I can't handle these two women.
I like this movie in all its horrible glory. So
okay, all right.
Like, I like the fact that Uncle Frank in his creepy bald head and his tight sweaters is a character. I like that these two old biddies who are really annoying, I like that they're involved.
I would say that there's three categories of Hallmark Christmas movies. One is good, like actually like kind of enjoyable and decent. The other is so bad it's good. This is so bad it's good.
Exactly.
And it has to have things in it, like the paint, like there has to be certain things that you get
to.
And then there's just bad, bad. And those are like the Candace Cameron Bure ones. There's some Lacey Chabert ones that are just bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how it breaks
down. This is by no means a quality movie, but there is so much to enjoy in it. It makes it worth watching.
You get excited for those, like, those moments to happen.
The old ladies also.
Oh, gosh. Too much.
Word got around. They're happy. And when they find that Jules wants to sell.
Well, they bring her, like, one of them runs the bakery and brings her cupcakes. And the other one runs the ice cream parlor and brings her, like, ice cream sandwiches or something. And, they've come to, like, impress her. And then they find out, same thing. They're just instantly so mad. They take all the goodies
away.
It's like they want to, like, drag her out into the middle of Christmas Land and stone her. But these women, like, they have sort of, like, southern, like, one of them has a real high-pitched voice and, like, a southern accent. And they're just, I don't know why do they act like this? Why are they so, they're so over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And, one of them says, when she finds out that that Jules from the city is going to sell, she says, "Well, la di da." It's a lot of that. That sort of sums them up.
And we learn too that Christmasland at one time was a hot property, and there were plenty of suitors that wanted to buy from Glinda, and she never sold it because it was important to her.
Yeah. So they go to Tucker Barnes's office, and there's a lot of faux painting on the walls happening. It's like this Tuscan villa feel to his office. Lots of sponge painting on the wall. And so they go there to like start some paperwork to sell it. And when she is leaving his office, there's like a dad with his daughter waiting there to ask Tucker Barnes if they're going to like sponsor something. And then she sees Jules and she's like, are you Jules from the city, Glinda's granddaughter, who's going to come and save everything? And yeah, like, so this is another one of those child actor moments, and she's got her lines like ready to go. It's right before commercial break, and Jules just looks at her and she says, "Yes, I am."
Yeah, she decides right there that she's still going to sell it, but she wants to reopen Christmasland and bring it back to its prominence as it was, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't tell everybody though that she's going to sell it.
Oh, yeah, right,
she
right.
only tells Tucker Barnes that she's going to sell it. So everyone just thinks that she is going to reopen it.
Okay, yeah,
they don't know that
she
has like this other motivation behind it. So she gives her boyfriend a call to tell him that she's decided to fix up Christmasland in order to sell it, because she wants to make sure it's sold to somebody who's going to keep it as Christmasland. Mm-hmm. And he's mad because they were supposed to go to Aruba for Christmas.
Right. She's going to move into the house.
To the musty house. And this is 2 weeks before Christmas. She's going to get all this done and get it open for the season, which is two-thirds of the way over by this point. And when she's talking to the snaky boyfriend, she mentions the attorney, the estate attorney, and it turns out that they know each other, that they went to college.
Yeah, they went
together.
To law school together.
Oh, to law school together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the city boyfriend mentions that Tucker Barnes had a reputation, but we never know what that is that like a Me Too reputation, or is it like, what's the reputation?
That was never brought up again.
Yeah. Because really what it breaks down to is that the city boyfriend is all about money and power and living in the city, and the country guy is about like taking your time. He does a lot of pro bono work, and he's not making a fortune being an attorney. She also mentions to the city boyfriend that this, like, wherever Christmasland is a great place to raise a family, and he's like, "What are you talking about? Like, raise a family if you're into that sort of thing?" And she's a little bit taken aback, like, he wouldn't want to have a family and she wants to. And he still is like, "What do you care about Christmasland? You want to buy that condo on the Upper West Side."
You can already tell that Jules is sick of her boyfriend.
Yeah. That she's falling out of love with him, or seeing the real side of him.
Yeah, she's seeing the real side of him. Took her a visit to Christmasland to see what Mitchell was really all about.
And she's laying in bed, kind of tossing and turning, and she reaches over under her nightstand, and there's the book. She reaches for the book on her nightstand, and it's the Encyclopedia of Pines. So she's going to own a Christmas tree lot. She needs to know about trees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looks like a good read. The next day, she goes into the closet in her room, and she pulls out the big red velvet coat. Mm-hmm. She's really excited to see it. And so Tucker Barnes meets her to kind of figure out what they need to do to get Christmasland up and running. And she's wearing that coat, and he's like excited. He's like, "All right, we got her. She believes in Christmasland now." That coat is like, it's so big and long and, I don't know, dirty. It just makes me uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable looking at it. Just like, I can feel how it feels by looking at it.
When Jules is waiting for Tucker, she goes down to the kitchen, and Frank is down there, and Frank has had a 180 now. Because
he heard they're going to reopen,
and now he's back to being nice to Jules, and he's making pancakes for Jules. And they're just regular pancakes.
Yeah.
But Jewel seems very impressed
yes.
by them.
And like so excited. Like the way she puts the syrup on.
Yeah, I don't think she's ever seen a pancake, perhaps.
I don't know. Well, if she's like a city girl, you know, she would just have her like green juice. She wouldn't, yeah. you know, have pancakes like they would in the country. But yeah, that's the thing about like the ladies and Frank and how they treat her and how Tucker Barnes treats her too. Like, I understand that. You know, maybe part of this is your livelihood that she's messing with and that you don't like what she's doing. But you can still be a decent person
yeah.
to her, too.
Yeah.
You can be so awful
yeah.
to her. And it's just so fake that they only like her if she's going to, like, reopen Chrysalis so they can have that income, I guess.
And also, get over it. Chrysalis hasn't been around forever. Why?
Yeah.
So have these people just been
living? What have they been doing?
Yeah, what have they been doing? Just hoping that someone's going to come in? The people of Chrysalis
yeah.
should have moved on 15 years ago,
yeah.
yet they're still holding on to this for some reason.
And it's like 80s dated.
Yeah,
yeah.
right, yeah. yeah.
So Tucker takes her to the barn and shows her the carriage. And the carriage is missing a wheel. It's in kind of bad shape. But... And he doesn't think that she could fix that in time. And she's like, well, actually, my grandmother showed me like how to take care of the carriage and how to care for the horses and all of that. And so she finds like a wheel and she starts working on it. So she's capable. I mean, Tucker thinks very little of her, but she actually can do
yeah,
things.
Yeah, very condescending
yeah.
to her about fixing it. Although it's a missing wheel.
She just goes
she just,
and gets
she,
one and like...
She gets another wheel
and just
she
screws
finds
it on.
And screws it on. Yeah. It wasn't...
Well, they have to have one made or something. And she has like some business ideas to suggestions. And he just says that she's high maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that he had a city girlfriend that was also very high maintenance. And that's why he has such a chip on his shoulder
yeah.
about... As I'm saying this, I'm like kind of having deja vu. And I'm like, did I already say this? But I think I've said this in lots of other... episodes of our show. So, yeah. So he could just kind of like associates women with being high maintenance.
Yeah.
Then. So they take a tour of the tree lot, and her suggestion here is to, instead of having people just pay Uncle Frank for their tree on the lot, they should have to pay in the gift shop, and then they would like see the ornaments and the decorations mm-hmm. and stuff.
She's and using some of her brand
identity.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And I mean, because Chrysalis is. A brand.
Mm-hmm. During the shot of the Christmas tree lot is when you could see the really big mountains. And I was wondering, like, where is this? Because...
Canada.
Because it's relatively close to New York, but it's also close to Chicago. So is it in West Virginia?
Kind of has a Smoky Mountain sort of like
okay.
Appalachian
right.
feel to
right.
it.
That would work.
And she sets up ornament making with some kids, just like she did with her grandmother. And Tucker's there, and the annoying ice cream lady's there. And the ice cream lady says to Tucker, she has such a way with kids. Like, see, don't worry. She'll give up her job and just want to have kids with you, Tucker,
mm-hmm.
what she's supposed to do in a small town. Tucker takes her to the hardware store. To get supplies, to get like one can of paint to fix everything. If you've ever painted anything, like it takes like 10 cans of paint to paint like one room. So
when Tucker meets Jules, she says that she didn't sleep well because she can't sleep without sirens or she can't sleep
yeah.
without noise.
Yeah, it's part of her being high maintenance.
And as they're going to the hardware store, he says something very condescending like, hey, you want me to throw trash on the ground and make it seem more
yeah.
like home?
Yeah. He's just a jerk.
Yeah.
And he's cute, but he's
yeah.
a jerk. So when they're at the hardware store, the owner is excited to meet her. She's, you know, the granddaughter has come to save everything and how when things have been tough, Chrysalis has always been there and that her grandmother did so much for that community and provided so many jobs. And he says, you know, everything's on the house.
Mm-hmm.
today. So they grab, yeah, like one can of paint.
We know Chrysalis is the house, and we know that it has the tree lot
mm-hmm.
and like the shops.
Yeah.
But also, Chrysalis includes 200 acres of property
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
So it's not just it's a lot and a lot of land.
Yeah.
It includes a tree farm. So it's not just the house, the little village. It is. It's a lot.
And it's near where like multiple interstates
mm-hmm.
come together, we
yeah.
find out. So I get the feeling that this is like when you're driving through like Indiana And there's like a little town. You see a few houses. Maybe there's a couple of farms and there's like a truck stop. And maybe there's like fast food or mm-hmm. something like that. And there's just, you know, there's not much to it. Maybe there's a school. And that you would like, you're driving through that and then you're like for miles before, you're going like a road trip and you see signs for Christmas Land.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that the feeling that, yeah. that you yep. get? So we get a montage now of everybody chipping in together and working on Christmas Land. We don't, I mean, we see a little bit of the characters that we know, but mostly it's just close-ups of hands doing things.
Yeah.
It's like stock footage of hands at work, painting, lifting things. We don't see the actual like actors doing much. And one thing they're doing is Jules remembers that Glinda used to always like put lights on and decorate the trees on the tree lot. So there'd be like all the trees in the tree lot and they would, but they have lights on them and they have like ornaments on them that the kids made. Why would anybody want to buy a tree with that stuff on it?
So people are buying trees with ornaments on them
like
already?
Yeah, when they're at the tree light, there's lights all over the trees. And there's a scene of Jules and Tucker like putting, she talks about like, that's why the kids made the ornaments was to put them on the tree. It seems really weird. Yeah. She says that the trees are the heart of the place. That, you know, that's a big part of their brand.
There's a shot of one of the locals who is talking to Frank and he's mad at Frank. He's like, what do you mean you can't pay on the, I can't pay on the lot anymore.
Yeah.
And Frank was like, well, no, but then you get 25% off in the gift shop or whatever. And then the guy is like, he changes his mind. He's like, oh my God, that's
a really good deal.
That's the best deal ever.
So Jules and Tucker are hanging around the tree lot and they're talking about like the plans for the big reopening, and they're having like a soft opening.
Yeah, that's what Tucker was saying. This is what you city slickers call a soft opening.
He's like asking her about like if they would have a gala or whatever. It was in the city, there would be a gala. Like there's no galas here.
Yeah again, very condescending to Jules, and his hatred of the big city is,
and the classic Hallmark movie mansplaining comes in here. Yeah. He mansplains Christmas trees.
This is
to
a
her
scotch pine and
So then they are in the barn and she's finishing up the carriage and he's impressed that
she rolled over a tire and was able to put it on.
And she trips and falls into his arms and he's holding her in a very romantic way. And right at that moment, Mitchell, the sneaky boyfriend, walks in.
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on here?
How did he get there?
I don't know.
Like, how do you find them in the barn?
I don't know. Where is the airport? Where's the Christmas Land airport?
They're in the barn, and when the boyfriend shows up, Tucker's like, Mitchell Johnson, confirming the fact that they knew, you know,
they were like rivals.
They were
in
rivals.
School.
They had a history of some sort together.
So the reason Mitchell's there is that he has a buyer for Christmas Land, and he talks to her in a very condescending way, but it's a different condescending way than Tucker does. But as much as I dislike Mitchell, the thing he is right about is that her velvet coat is horrible, and he can't even like look at her wearing it.
He says that she looks like a hobo wearing that coat.
And he makes a lot of like references later to like how terrible she looked when he showed up.
And when he sees Tucker too, he goes, not surprised to see you in a barn.
So Mitchell wants Jules to go to Chicago to meet with the buyer. And, you know, she stresses that it's really important to her that the buyer keeps it as Christmas Land. And he doesn't get it. He calls it Christmasville. It makes her mad.
Yeah, he's very dismissive of the whole property. He just wants to get in, make as much money, and then get the condo. In his defense, though, Mitchell is a snake, mm-hmm. and he comes off as unlikable. But it seemed clear to Mitchell that Jules' dream was to live in New York City, have a condo on the Upper West Side, overlooking the park.
She'd never been interested in Christmas Land before this.
Yeah, so I kind of feel for Mitchell that he's questioning her, all her decisions, because I've known you for however mm-hmm. long we've been dating, and you've never talked about this Christmas Land.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden we're uprooting our whole lives. It's like if something happened with you in Lubbock, there was a Christmas Land.
And I just leave everything and move back.
Yeah, like you just told me that you were going to leave.
There's Santa Land in life. I inherited Santa Land.
And I'd also be 100% on board with moving
yeah,
to Santa Land.
Actually, yeah, I think that would be on brand for us. So we also find out that, like, yeah, that part of Mitchell and Tucker's rivalry stems from Tucker being number one in their class in law school. So even though Tucker doesn't care about money and power, he is smart,
yeah,
and he is a good attorney.
And Jewel says that Mitchell told her that he was first in class.
Oh, uh-huh.
So
yeah,
a bit of a liar slash bragger.
Yeah. So she, even though there's a lot to do to get ready to do at Christmasland, Jules goes to Chicago to meet with the buyer. And Tucker's surprised that she's doing this. He also expresses to her that he does not like lying and that she's making him lie to, you know, like he's lying by not telling everybody that she's going to sell. It makes him uncomfortable.
And Tucker, you know, Jules is sneaking around. So Tucker, you know, takes a, this is his opportunity to take another shot. So he's like, you know, oh, lying must come really easy to you city folk.
So they're in, Jules and Mitchell are in Chicago to meet with the buyer. And it's another chance for, like, Mitchell's like, whoa, you look so good. Like ripping on like how she looked in the velvet coat.
They cut to Chicago and it's John Hancock Building, Lake Bistro 222. The restaurant.
The famous Bistro 222.
The restaurant.
And when they're going in.
Business deal.
Yeah. When they go in, Mitchell like opens the door and Jewel just starts walking in and like a person's walking out and like bumps into her and Jewel acts like the person was so rude, like bumping into her. But really, Jewel's the rude person
when
here.
When you go on the train, you let people get off before you enter.
Or the elevator. Yeah. And so she, you know, she's just like, oh, city folk, they're so rude.
But this is an opportunity to, for, she's like, yeah, I don't miss all this rush. And Mitchell's like, yeah, people on their way to go to a job, you know, like Christmasland. Nobody does anything at Christmasland.
Okay, so they're meeting the buyer at Bistro 222. And when I saw this guy, I thought maybe it was the guy from Home, what was it?
Al Borland.
Yes.
It's Richard Karn from Home Improvement.
Home Improvement.
Is the buyer.
Yeah. But to me, I was like, is he just... Yeah, and he was Family Feud. He was in Family, like syndicated Family Feud. I was like, is he one of the like blue collar? What's the like
blue collar comedy guy?
Yeah, I was like, is that what he was? Looks like, but no, he's that guy.
When you meet him, you're kind of shocked. You're like, oh yeah, that's Al Borland. Nothing says big city money.
I know,
like
it's the weirdest. Nothing says Smoky Mountains more than him. Yeah. Like it's the weirdest casting. Like, and he has like this weird goatee that's sort of like a hybrid handlebar mustache goatee. It's like a Hulk Hogan mustache, like goes all the way down to like his jawline with like a little bit on his chin. I don't know what do you call that.
I don't know.
It's weird. Yeah, the casting is really strange.
Yeah.
There, like he should have been the caretaker.
Yeah, that would have been perfect. Yeah. And Frank, the
Frank
bald,
could have been
menacing
yes,
guy,
like
could
a
have been,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know, an evil type,
yes,
you know,
yeah,
money real estate developer.
Yeah, it's weird.
Richard Karn loves Christmasland and wants to.
Yeah.
He wants to buy.
He tells her that like he always took his kids there, and he was, you know, very excited when he found out it was for sale. So on the spot, he offers her $1.7 million for Christmasland. All she has to do is sign a piece of paper and it's done. All right. In these movies, there's a lot of things that are not accurately portrayed. Buying a house or buying property, so just sign your name onto one little piece of paper.
Make your mark on this napkin and the deal is done.
And that's the least accurate thing ever.
She, you know, obviously she loves Christmasland. She wants to make sure that Christmasland won't be destroyed because it's, you know, it's part of her grandmother's legacy.
So, you know, he's assured her that it won't be. And like the Mitchell the Snake and Richard Karn. What's his name in the, do we know his name in the movie? Mason.
Oh yeah, Mason Richards.
Yeah.
Mason Richards, yeah.
They like sneak a look at each other, like while she's signing.
Yeah, wink, wink.
Yeah. All right. And so he hands her a handwritten check for $1.7 million.
Hands over the check from the Illinois Bank and Trust on 1234 Second Street.
All right, so it's sold and all, and she's back at Christmas Land. Easy peasy, goes from Chicago back to Christmas Land.
I mean, I know it's only one sheet of paper, but it's $1.7 million. She cares about Christmas Land. Does the money just get to her because Mitchell says you can now buy your place on the Upper West Side? Because she didn't even read the contract. She just signs it. I'm sure there's something in there that says he could do whatever he wants to, but she just signs it and off they go.
She's smarter than this. Yeah. This is ridiculous. Yeah. So she's at the tree, on the tree lot, and she's there pre-decorating the trees again. And there's like a dad and daughter interested in a tree, and she knows about trees now. She explains the tree, and she's like, you know, it's not, the needles fall off of this one as soon as you get home, but it smells really good. And the girl's like, Daddy, I want this one. And this dad was excited about Christmas Land being open because he used to always go there, and now he's happy to be able to bring his daughter there. So the next day, she's at the ice cream shop, and a big financy guy comes in.
Walter Hayes.
And he's some real estate guy that works with Mason. So she nobody knows that she's sold it. So she quickly escorts him out. And when she does, the ice cream lady, because Jules has an ice cream cone, and the ice cream lady takes the cone and holds it in front of her face and licks it little licks. Her face, and just does little licks and looks to the side. So weird. Jules is outside with
Walter
the
Hayes,
real estate guy. And
when I wrote down Walter Hayes too, I wrote it as Haze, not Hayes. It seemed meaner for his name is Walter Hayes, Haze. He's telling Jules about
they're going to develop the land.
Like you mentioned, this place is between two interstates.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's a lot of things we can split up. And
so
turn
you know,
into
they're
going to
there's
going to
be a Walmart probably.
Yeah.
There's going to be some tract homes. There's going to be some big box stuff. And
when he said all that, I was like, oh yeah, this would probably be great for this.
I know, it'd create a lot more jobs than just seasonal Christmas Land.
Yeah, I was like, oh, the people must love this. The hardware store must love this because now this place is going to be developed. More people are going to live here. I'm going to be prosperous now, as opposed to waiting for the 1 month out of the year that people come to Christmas Land.
Yeah. So she's really upset about it. So she runs back to Chicago real fast. And Mitchell is in his, he's got business in Chicago, so he's in the office there.
Hancock building.
And she's mad, and he knew that this was going to happen. And she wants out, but you signed the contract, too bad. So the other thing that can happen when you buy a house is you can pull out, too. You've got, there's
whatever it is.
Nothing happens when you just sign it. There's things built in that,
will protect you.
Yeah. Yeah. She signed the contract. Does that mean they've closed on it? Well, whatever.
Yeah.
He's an attorney. If he's like, I'm an attorney. I can't, I can't. I'm like, if you were a good attorney, maybe you need the top head of the class, Tucker Barnes, to get her out.
It's been one day.
Yeah.
Nothing's really happened. I'm sure there are ways
that a lawyer could do.
Protect her.
So she wants out of it, and they break up. I think she says she doesn't love him.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
He only cares about money. And so then she goes to Mason's office and begs him to let her out. And he's like, Noel, I'm sorry. You signed a contract. And he opens a drawer in his desk and pulls the only thing that's in that drawer is the contract she signed. So it hasn't been notarized or anything yet. Just the folded up contract that she signed. So his offer to her is that he will sell Christmas Land back to her then. But he is a businessman and he, has to make a profit on it. So she has until midnight on Christmas Eve to come up with $3 million. So she already has the 1.7. So she has to come up with $1.3 million. So now she's back in Christmas Land. She's in Tucker's office. And again, another attorney can't get her out of this deal. And he's looking at that one page contract and he's really upset about it.
And he knows.
And he's mean to her about it.
Yeah. And he knows Mason, Richard Karn, because Karn had come to Glinda a number of times through the years trying to buy Christmas Land. And Glinda sensed what Mason would really want to do and always said no to Mason.
And he just puts her on such a guilt trip. And I feel like an attorney's job is to be like, okay, let's find, I'm going to get you out of this. Let's find the solution, not to just make you feel bad about it, but to like be like, okay, let's figure out how to
I thought
do
you
this.
Cared about Christmas land. Enjoy your apartment by the park.
So she's sad. She's like moping around Christmas land. She goes to the carriage and she's walking around and people are around the tree. It's not the tree lighting, but something's happening at the tree.
Yeah.
And there's like a microphone stand and she goes up and just tells everyone that she admits to selling it.
Yeah.
And that it's all over.
She did it by accident. She didn't want to. And then she runs off and cries.
So she's back at the house and in her room and going through things, packing up. And she finds a VHS tape. And it's of her and her grandmother, her and Glenda. Yeah. In the carriage, and
she pops it in the VCR because it's 2015. And
well, this house has a VCR.
Everybody has a VCR,
and she's just like reminiscing about it, and it makes her sad. And she's like racking her brain, like, "What can I do?" So she calls Mrs. Nickerson, who owned the coffee shop from the beginning, and she had like offered to help her, like, "Jules, if there's anything you need, I can help you with it," and asks her for. You know, says how much money she needs, and the deal is that Nickerson's coffee would have exclusive rights because of his land. Okay.
It's a bad deal for Nickerson.
Nickerson's gives her $800,000, and she's disappointed.
$850,000.
And she wants the full $1.3 million. She's disappointed in that. How, not only are they providing, they're providing the coffee, but they're like getting the, like, how much coffee do you think that they'll sell? The exclusive rights of Christmas land? What? How is that worth $850,000?
Yeah, and Mrs. Nickerson said she would have given the whole amount. But you know, you caught me at the bad time of the, you know, it's the end of the year.
Yeah, it's our cash flow is bad right now because no, this is not how things work either. This is when you have cash around the holidays.
So yeah, this is a bad. Nickerson's will never recoup this $850,000 with the naming rights to Christmas land.
Well, when we saw the signs at Nickerson's, we knew like that. Yeah, that they didn't have a lot of sense.
So she has the $850,000, but she still. $450,000 short of needing the $1.3 million.
Yeah. We also see that she's fixed the carriage. The carriage is up and running.
She put the tire back on. That Tucker didn't think that she would be able to do.
And it's revealed that Uncle Frank has a coffee can full of $100 bills.
Yeah, for Tucker and Uncle Frank, they're in the kitchen. They're kind of saying, this is a... I can't believe this is going to be the last tree lighting.
Yeah.
And Frank was like, remember when, you know, I remember the last time we said this is going to be the last tree lighting. Mm-hmm. And then reaches over to a cupboard and
his Maxwell House coffee cup full of $100 bills. Yeah. And it says something like, oh, Tucker, you know, everybody has a coffee can full of $100 bills.
Yeah. Everybody has a stash for a rainy day or they just keep their money in the bank in a coffee can.
All right, so things start to really go off the carriage wheels at this point. So Tucker's goes to the house to invite Jules to the tree lighting ceremony, and she's, you know, she's just talked to Mason. He ran into Mason too. They knew each other because Mason had tried to buy Christmas land before. Yeah, he goes up to her room to get her, and he's like, come downstairs, I have something to show you. And it turns out that the people of Christmas Land are going to save Christmas Land. So the two ladies, the guy who owns the hardware store, Frank, Tucker, they've all pooled their coffee cans of money together and came up with $450,000.
And put it all in a little box.
Yeah, forget retirement. Yeah, in a little box, like a tiny little box.
Like, how big are those bills? Because there's no way you could fit $450,000 in that little tiny little box.
And she's just so amazed by it. And one of the like ladies says, darn tootin'. So this is like, they all had like just an extra $100,000 sitting around?
Yeah.
Why didn't they use this money to fix up Christmas land before? Would never be in this mess to begin with. I feel like it's such a waste of money too. That's your retirement. Yeah. Like you're just, you're just throwing this away.
Yeah.
Christmas land. So they hand over the tiny box to Mason and he holds it like with his little, like a little rat with his fingers and tears up the contract.
Yeah. Everybody's happy. Richard Karn is happy too. And I hate when that happens too, where the villain gets to take part in
it's a loss of $3 million. Like she outright owned this 2 days ago.
Yeah. But, and everybody's treating Karn like he's fine now, even though he is.
Yeah.
He could have taken less than $1.3 million, but he got exactly what he wanted.
Nobody challenges it. Like, okay, this is how it is.
$1.3 million in 2 days.
And everyone's like happy. I'm like, you guys all, you all just lost $3 million. Yeah. Gosh, it's upsetting. I'm very upset by it. But, you know, it's also like, would Glinda have approved of like this all happening too?
No.
So they take a carriage ride to the tree lighting, and the crowd cheers her because they've all heard what happened. And she says she's not selling and she's not leaving. And then Tucker Barnes likes her, and they kiss by the tree. So now it's time for Naughty and Nice, when we talk about the best and worst parts of this movie. Pete has Nice.
And Nice is Uncle Frank's pancakes.
They must be. She's so excited about them. Doesn't even get to eat them, though. She gets
she gets called off.
Yeah,
out.
Well, you know, Tucker Barnes makes her a little uncomfortable, and he comes in, and she has to run upstairs. And Naughty, there's a lot to choose from here. It's tough.
The painting.
The painting's got to fit in somewhere. But I'm just very uncomfortable with how everything goes down. Everyone involved, the terrible lawyering. everything goes down with the real estate deals.
Yeah.
It just makes me sick to my stomach that they lost all of their life savings for no reason. Yeah, sell a lot of cupcakes to make that back. You got 3 hours before Christmas. All right, so that's it. We'll be back soon with another episode breaking down either a brand new or classic Hallmark Christmas movie. If you like this podcast, please rate and review us on iTunes. We'd love some 5-star reviews and to hear your opinions on it, too.